It's Thursday, the 6th of July, and this is Jane Nichols, and you're listening to ICT UCAN. Welcome to another episode of ICT UCAN. It's a lovely sunny day in Dunedin. I'm looking out the window. I'm sure it's about 4 degrees. It has been very cold. Firstly, I'd like to apologise to those people who listened to my last episode on an iPod because apparently I hadn't checked my stereo output and it may have come out of one headphone and not the other. So I have checked that this time in my excitement of using a microphone rather than just speaking into my computer. I had missed that step. So I'm sorry. This time, hopefully, it will work much better. It's been a while since my last podcast, and my only excuse is that I'm a teacher. There are never enough minutes in the day to get everything done. So in this podcast, I'd like to share with you my excitement about the language unit my class completed this term. I explained a little bit about it in my previous podcast, and now that we have finished it, that I have taught it, and they have produced such wonderful work, I want to share with you the amazing learning that happened. I continue to be amazed by the power of podcasting to transform my language program. So first I'm going to start with two anecdotes of how podcasting has improved the oral language with some students in my class and also their creative and critical thinking skills. And then I will outline my poetry unit and how it created such a buzz in my classroom that I became a silent observer and a technical support person. And the students ran the classroom as self-directed learners and time managers. So the student motivation and results in this unit were so impressive that I was speechless. Podcasting has had the most amazing effect on my students' oral language abilities. I didn't set out to use podcasting for any other reason except that I thought it looked cool. I had no educational reason in mind. Tut, tut, I can hear you say. And I'm always on the lookout for new ways for my students to present their work, and audio was a way that we hadn't yet tried. Here are some examples of how it has changed my students. Student A likes to be a dude, and he puts on the Brotown accent. This is a New Zealand show with a really thick Māori accent, and everyone's very cool. And he likes to call himself a gangster. So whenever he presents in front of the class, he used this accent and put on a show. And I needed to help him develop as a public speaker to a wider range of audiences. When it was his turn to produce his podcast, as suspected, he produced a podcast with a thick put-on Māori accent and lots of slang. And I agonised how to approach this with sensitivity in the classroom. As a class, we listened to the podcast and we gave feedback. The students enjoyed his podcast and they laughed at the accent and the use of his word gangster. And then we looked at the map that I'd put on our podcast page. It's a cluster map which records visitors to our site by placing a dot on the world map of the IP address of the visitor. And we talked about how we had listeners in the United States of America, Alaska, Canada, England, France, Australia, Hawaii, Niue, as well as people in New Zealand. I asked them what they thought the word gangster might mean to people in these different cultures. We then listened to the KPE podcast from Auckland, where the presenters do have a more pronounced Māori accent. And the students realised that even though these students had the accent, they still presented their information in a formal way and avoided slang. One student summed up our discussion by stating that maybe we need to be ourselves when we podcast. The students came to the conclusion that we needed to share our culture with the world in a way that the world could understand. So there's my first example of approaching something in the classroom that I would never have had an authentic reason to approach before. How to speak to wider audiences. My second student is a very quiet student. When she joined me last year, she was below in reading and writing and she was not confident speaking in front of the class. She tried very hard to disappear. And today I nearly cried when she showed me her work. She'd been working on podcasting a poem she had written, and I'll explain that process later. And she recorded her poem with expression and used sound effects to support the mood of her poem. Because of the authentic context for publishing, Her writing was far superior to anything she had written before. She made changes to the poem after it was written, and she did this as an oral project. She was self-directed in her learning and proud of her accomplishments. I was proud of her work, but more proud of her self-reflection. When we finish for a day, I get my students to fill in their reflection journal to let me know about how they feel about how they are working. And on completion of her podcast, she wrote in her journal, "I want to be a teacher like Mrs. N. She works so hard. I can now go to college because she believes in me and gave me faith." This comment shows how much authentic learning has meant to this student. Her self-esteem has risen because of the opportunities that podcasting has offered in presenting to an authentic audience. She understands that her work is being listened to by a wide audience, and she's being affirmed by that audience through online comments. She's attributing her success to me, when in fact it is the affirmation of many. So you can see why I am so rapt with podcasting. It is giving my students a voice, and it is making them think outside their small New Zealand classroom and into the wider world, and it's making them global citizens, and it's amazing. Okay, I can see I'm at the 6 minute mark, and I'll very quickly talk you through my poetry unit. To begin with, we read lots and lots of stories by Margaret Mahey and looked at the wonderful poetic language she uses in both her stories and her poems. And we experimented with all these different types of poetry. So that was my writing program and my reading program. Then in at my visual language program, we looked at using the digital camera. First, I separated the kids into four groups. One group went out and they had to go and take images of lines. The second group went out and took images using frames, a subject within a frame. The third group had to go out and find images which had different elements of light in them. And the fourth group went out and looked for colour. And when all those groups came back and they showed us their photos and why they chose to take them that way, I then took one person from each of those four expert groups, put them together into one new group, and then asked them to go out and take a picture that represented a feeling. So each person in that group was in charge of what they were looking for. One person was looking for light, one for colour, one for framing, and one for lines. So when they came back, I had these most magnificent images, which didn't include children. One of the things I told them was I didn't want to see faces. If at all possible, you can use the back of someone or you can use someone from far away. But I was just blown away by the images they brought back. They started seeing taking digital images as a form of art, as a way to portray a message, rather than just taking pictures of their mates pulling silly faces. So there was my visual language unit. Now they had some images, they had written a poem, and they had read lots of poems. The next step was to hop onto the computers, open up GarageBand, and record the poems they had written into GarageBand. I got them to read out one line at a time and then find some sort of sound effects to support the mood of the poem, and they would insert that at the end of each line. And then they started experimenting with putting music behind and all that sort of thing, all the great things that you can do with GarageBand. We then saved the GarageBand MP3 soundtrack and opened up iMovie on our Apple computers, and the children then combined their images and their soundtrack into a movie file so that we could save it as a QuickTime. They then put in some title frames. They used all the wonderful effects that you can use in iMovie, like the rain and all that sort of thing, and came up with the finished podcast that you can see on one example on this podcast site, and all the rest of them are over on our class podcast site at room5.podomatic.com. I'm amazed. I'm blown away. It was a really good term's work, and the kids were so proud of themselves. We invited the parents along, we handed out popcorn, and we had a little movie premiere. And it was all original work. It was their work. It wasn't my work. And I think they did a fantastic job. So adventures in podcasting, it's worthwhile. It blows my mind. It's fantastic. I am lost for words. it is worth having a go in your classroom. So thank you for listening. It has been a pleasure talking to you again, and I'll try and get a podcast out a lot sooner this term. My term focus for this term is web pages, so maybe my next podcast will be about creating web pages with 24 9-year-olds, but that's another story. Remember, it's always an adventure. Goodbye.